45 degrees and a second community connection of the morning. Opportunity to focus on the arts, particularly the Bartles Hill Symphony Orchestra, and an opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking about this week. Is it this week? Yes, this weekend's concert, Wet and Wild. And Lynn Everett and Lauren Green joining us this morning. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Hi, good to be here.
Good morning.
And you just handed me the concert lineup, and I already hummed one of the major themes from one of the pieces. And just because of how we were talking before we went on the air, looks as though at least the first half you will conclude with an album that I think my grandmother got me for a birthday gift. I'm going to guess fifth or sixth grade, somewhere along then. The song you're playing was the flip side of the reason that she bought me the album, but Fer de Griffey's Grand Canyon Suite, but on the other side, a piece that I enjoyed, I would say about equally as well, the Mississippi Suite.
Well, the Mississippi Suite was written by the same composer who wrote the Grand Canyon Suite. And a lot of people have heard the Grand Canyon Suite. It was very popular. Even Toscanini recorded the Grand Canyon Suite. But it was sort of a sequel, actually, to the Mississippi Suite, which was written early. Well, let's go back. Fer de Griffey.
Yeah.
What a strange name. His real name was like Ferdinand von something or other. But he was born in America, and he found work playing in dance bands in the early part of the 20th century. And wound up with Paul Whiteman Band in the 20s.
Which, of course, also was famous for Rhapsody in Blue.
Well, and that's exactly where Groffet comes in, because it was Groffet, as the arranger for Paul Whiteman, who orchestrated Rhapsody in Blue, or originally arranged it for the band and then orchestrated it for a symphony orchestra. In the meantime, this guy is also composing his own music, and he composes this thing called the Mississippi Suite, just a couple years after Rhapsody in Blue. And it's so popular that he starts composing all these other suites, the Death Valley Suite, the Hudson River Suite, the Niagara Falls Suite, and the Grand Canyon Suite, and that's what really got him famous. All that is to say, we're performing the Mississippi Suite, and there's a good reason for that, if you want to ask.
Okay, why would the orchestra perform the B-side of the album, which we can talk about the record business separately, but the Mississippi Suite on a concert named Wet and Wild?
Well, that's funny you should ask. The whole premise of this concert, which is a really sort of strange premise for a symphony concert, but it's music that has to do with water, lakes, rivers, streams, oceans, animals therein. And man, you know, there's just so much music that's written about that. Water's so much around us that composers forever have written music about it. And it's all so variable, so you can get some very peaceful music, you can get some very wild and crazy music. And we've got it all on this concert, including the Mississippi Suite.
Well, I noticed one piece in the second half, and it's not the one that I'm thinking of. Actually, I'd gotten out of the Air Force, went back to Illinois State to finish up a music degree, and married student housing, and the walls were kind of thin. I had an art major living next door to me, and at 2 in the morning, he would be playing this. I never did learn the name of the piece. It was a symphonic work, but whale sounds throughout the whole thing. I'm sure it really was his creative muse. But
you're dating yourself, because that's exactly the right time. The piece we're playing on the program is probably that very piece. it's called And God Created Great Whales, and is by Alan Hovhaness, and it was written in 1970.
Okay.
And it was really quite the thing in 1970, and really has been ever since. Probably his most popular piece.
This is what I got out in 75, so it was, you are right, yeah.
American composer who wrote sort of very eclectic music, but this was very notable in its day for using pre-recorded whale sounds as part of the symphony work, but also using some other random sort of musical production where he didn't just have a harmony and a melody. You know, he uses some of that, but he also says in this particular area, for instance, writes all these notes for the strings and just says, play it as fast as you can. And so everybody's playing something slightly different, soft, loud, up, down, whatever. And so it gives you these big, massive blocks of sound. It's very interesting. And in its day, it was very avant-garde. Nowadays, it's pretty, you know, it's performed by youth orchestras, and, you know, it's
I'm sure the first few orchestras that played it, who at the time the whole mindset, I guess, was play it as it's written unless the conductor tells you otherwise.
Yeah,
To give the string players that much freedom to do what they want.
And it was a concept that was, you know, sort of popular in experimental music at that time, but hadn't really found its way into the symphony hall too much.
It's been
very popular. And, you know, we talk about it being wild and crazy, but it really is effective the way it just combines these sounds of the whales and the orchestra sort of imitating whale sounds. And it's really unusual. So we'll be doing that, and it's great fun. First time we've done this piece.
And wow. I heard it last night at rehearsal. It was amazing. And, you know, I don't get the opportunity a lot of times to actually sit and listen to the whole concert because I'm usually out working either in the back or the front to make the whole event happen. Mm-hmm. And last night I sat through the rehearsal, and I was just amazed. At first when he was describing the whale sounds, I thought, oh, but it's really amazing. So I think people will really enjoy it.
Wow, sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it will put me back in married student housing back in 1975.
Take you back.
Hey, it's a good place to be. It was a fun time. This is something Wet and Wild, the wonder and beauty of the deep, and obviously a couple of pieces already that I'm familiar with, but there are some that I at least don't recognize by title, but having worked in public radio for a while, I probably have played them, I just don't recognize them.
Right. The whole idea was to find the widest variety possible, and I think we did, from Rimsky-Korsakov Scheherazade, which many people will recognize because that's just a classical favorite and a great orchestral showpiece, to very seldom performed works like one called The Enchanted Lake by a Russian composer named Liadov, but it's just very mellow and sparkly and very atmospheric. Then we even have a Baroque violin concerto, of all things, which it's only about 8 or 10 minutes long, but it depicts the storm at sea, and so it's very tempestuous.
Well, the Russian composers, whether it's the Five or just some of the other Russian composers, gave us so much great stuff that frequently doesn't get played unless you're playing the hits like Scheherazade or Flight of the Bumblebee or something.
Exactly. And the funny story which I discovered in researching this is that Liadov was actually a student of Rimsky-Korsakov and flunked his class because he was too lazy to show up. And later on, they were colleagues at the conservatory. And anyway, interesting connections.
Well, and that's part of what makes your pre-concert talk so much fun, because you take us inside the music and give us an opportunity to either be aware of the story behind how this got written, or maybe just some of the technical stuff that will go on, like what the freedom was given to the violinist.
And we'll be doing that. Delaney, you want to use that segue to get into
talking about Upbeat with Lorne Greene.
Yes,
we really think that this is an opportunity for you to come in and learn about the music and hear our guest soloist, Michael Nicholson. We haven't talked about him yet.
I was hoping we would, yeah.
He is from Bartlesville, and yesterday they spent all day, Lauren and he went from school to school, talking to all the orchestras about this concert and just basically about Michael's life. He was a student at Bartlesville High School and sat under Lorne Greene when he was the conductor there at the high school, and he shared with all the students about his life, just being a student in the seat at the high school, going all the way through to becoming a professional violinist. So,
and you try to take one concert every year that kind of, I'll say, strikes a chord literally and figuratively with the students to bring them into the music, whether it's some of the pieces that introduce the instruments to the orchestra, like the Peter and the Wolf you did a few years ago, or in this particular case, just heading out to the schools.
Well, we have lots of ways to do that. We almost always try to get our soloists out to the schools in some fashion, and Michael was just so great because he spent all day. He didn't just make one appearance, he made several. But we do that in a lot of different ways. This concert features a hometown product who has made it, you know, had a professional career. It also features the winner of our Young Artist Competition, mm-hmm. which is another outreach, and that's Jaden Atkins, who's a senior at Bartlesville High School, and she'll be performing a concerto movement too. And we do a lot of different things with a fifth grade concert in the fall, and we just try to get ourselves out there.
But I'll say many orchestras don't take the time to do that outreach in the schools, and certainly want to compliment you and the musicians.
Well, thank you.
Pardon me. Delenn, what else is going on?
Well, Sound Bites is back at this concert.
Good.
That's our heavy hors d'oeuvres that we have before the upbeat, before the pre-concert discussion. So if you are interested in coming to have some hors d'oeuvres and sit and listen to the Upbeat, this is a great opportunity in Community Hall. We will be in there, and along with those two, Doug will be back playing. Doug and Pam Hughes will be back playing in the Community Hall. They were last month. We did something unusual with the dinner,
right?
So it was a bit of a change of our schedule, but we're back on track to, you know, the same openings before the concert. So,
well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and I have to believe that, Lauren, you had a lot of fun narrowing down the field on this one, because when I start thinking about compositions that either imitate the sounds of water or just have water in the name somewhere,
oh, yeah,
rivers, I mean, how many,
there are many,
know, pieces
so
have been
many.
River?
And some of them we had done fairly recently, so I wanted to do something. We'd done the Moldau, for instance, one of the classic music appreciation 101 programmatic pieces.
Although Scheherazade fits in that same mold.
It does, but we hadn't done that quite so recently. So
when you hear Michael on it.
Yeah, and Michael is playing that Vivaldi concerto we mentioned. And then he's also playing the violin solos on Scheherazade, which will be really lovely. Totally contrasting musical styles, and really fun, and ends with a great crash and a bang, and, you know, it's a neat concert. So, with Mike and everything, it's going to be a fun evening, and a lot of music we didn't get to play, but that's okay. We'll do it some other time.
Well, and this is not necessarily what we're talking about this morning, but you will be back as one of the featured orchestras for OK Mozart.
You know, that's right. The three regional orchestras will be at OK Mozart this year: the Tulsa Symphony, Signature Symphony, and the Bartlesville Symphony. And we have the privilege of doing the Willow Rock outdoor concert this year. And so we will be putting that together over the next few days and finalizing that program, and exciting announcements to make about who's going to be soloing with the orchestra. And so it's going to be a fun Pops concert out there at Willow Rock, as always.
And I know members of the orchestra have played at outdoor events, but I'll say I don't remember BSO as a ensemble doing an outdoor concert before.
You know, we have, but it may be very early, maybe before your time, Charlie, if there was such a time.
There was.
The BC, yeah, before Charlie. Back in the very old days, we used to do some concerts on the lawn at Frank Phillips. Mm-hmm. And even before my time, they did some concerts in the band shell at Sooner. But this will certainly be the first time out at Willow Rock and in that location. So we're looking forward to that.
And it'll be a lot of fun.
And we've also got, by the way, a concert coming up, our final concert of the season in May, mm-hmm, which we'll be plugging a lot after this one's over with. And that is Motown. Total change of pace. Got three great singers coming in, a great show with all your favorites from Motown through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and they'll be doing them all. So it's over, about 22, 25 songs in there.
When you talk about Motown, where there's Berry Gordy and the Wall of Sound, or the Supremes, just you start naming down all the
exactly
great groups that came through those recording studios, boy, here again, the hits are just going to keep on coming all night long.
They really do. And so that's going to be a great show. That's May 5th. So we've got our March 5th concert coming up this week, and then the May 5th Motown to wind up the season.
I don't know how you managed to leave out April 5th, but that's how you got to rehearse sometime.
April 2nd our big hoedown, our fundraiser that's coming up. So that we will still have some fun at that big time party. So
are tickets still available for that one, by the way?
They are, actually. They are $90 to come in, but we will have Jana Jay will be performing. Mm-hmm. And tickets and tables are still available. We're going to have a silent auction, and we'll be back to talk to you more about that too, as time comes along. But we're excited about this weekend. I think this is definitely a hometown, a Bartlesville community concert with the BSO. So we're excited about having Michael Nicholson and Jaden Adkins. Her teacher actually is a regular at the symphony.
Remember, so.
member of the symphony. Yeah, so we're excited about this weekend. So I know you'll be there, Charlie, right?
Planning on it, that's for sure. Okay. And we'll see you Saturday night. Concert time is
7:30. We still have tickets available. Pick them up at the Bartlesville Community Center.
Go choose them at on site or online as you choose, and go to the Bartlesville Community Center. I think you have a link through your website too, don't you, to buy tickets?
Yes. There's a at least it connects you with the community center, but that is the place to.
We'll start you off at the Bartlesville Symphony Concert or Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra website, which goes, you need to find out all the other stuff, and then buy your tickets for this week's concert.
And then it'll link you to their website, and it shows the actual seats that are still available, and you can purchase it online that way.
Okay.
It's a great way.
Sounds like a great deal. You will enjoy yourself looking at the musical lineup. You will definitely walk out to either humming whale sounds or be reminding yourself of the Mississippi, something like that. Anyway, it is Wet and Wild and the Wonder and Beauty of the Deep this Saturday night at Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra Concert. Go enjoy yourself, and in the meantime, we'll keep it here on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.
Thanks, Charlie.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.